Defendo Radio is on now.
Welcome everybody to Infendo Radio. I have Scott and Harrison with me today. Hey guys.
Hey everybody, how's everybody going on here? So good to actually have everybody back.
Yeah, that's right. How you doing, Scott?
We have a delay here.
Oh yeah, here, let's see. Looks like Scott got dropped. Okay, well then, we're going to get started. Scott is having some weather, inclement weather issues, so hopefully he'll be able to jump on here in just a sec. But yeah, so Nintendo Direct, I mean, I guess that's where we need to jump right into, because we had a lot of big news this last week. So do you want to get us started about what was your favorite information? What did you like most about this Nintendo Direct?
First of all, I just got to say is, I was not really expecting this, you know, news to actually come out as big as it was supposed to be. I mean, what we originally were supposed to have with this, like, you know, Nintendo Direct, it was supposed to be just, you know, software related. Well, software is in the sense of, like, what the Wii U services are supposed to be. And then all of a sudden, you know, you had, say, Satoru Iwata on there just drop all these bombshell after bombshell after bombshell. It was essentially like a mini E3 of sorts.
Yeah, no, it was great. I mean, I was not expecting so many new games to be announced. I mean, there was a lot of games that we didn't hear about. Wind Waker, for one, that was probably my biggest one. I love that game, and I can't wait to see it remade in HD.
I when I had first heard of that that game's existence, I mean, because I obviously was not awake for the live showing of the Direct, whatever, until I got onto Twitter, whatever, and I just saw in the trending topics was Wind Waker, and I was like, I mean, what's the deal with this, whatever, and I was barely awake, and, you know, I saw that they were being remade, and I kind of shrugged it off, yeah, whatever, and I went back to bed. Woke up about an hour later, and I was like, thinking, like, oh god, this wasn't a dream at all, we're actually getting this, oh my god.
Right.
And especially for, oh, wait, I think we have Scott in the background
right
now.
Scott is back.
Yes, I'm back.
Fantastic.
Ice Storm is really trying to keep you away there right now from obviously our delicious podcast content that we're getting on here.
I think so.
Well, we were. What was your favorite information to come out of the Nintendo Direct, Scott? I mean, there was so much. I mean, what did you like the most that Iwata and all them decided to reveal to us?
There was a lot. I mean, mm-hmm. I was able to watch the whole thing and kind of wrote my article kind of recapping while I was watching it. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of back and forth between the Infendo article and that, but obviously, like you guys were just talking about Wind Waker, that just the difference between the original and what we can expect is night and day.
Oh yeah.
You know, it's going to be an awesome game, and I think the great thing about that is everybody wants a new Zelda game. Even though this isn't new, it's still going to be new because of the enhanced graphics and so on, and it gives everybody what they want to get them used to a Zelda on the Wii U console. But not only that, there was confirmation of a new Zelda game, even though it's not ready yet.
Right.
It's still in the works. So just having that confirmation alone was awesome.
Yeah, I mean, with Wind Waker specifically, I like that Nintendo is taking a different route instead of just like up-resing the graphics like a lot of the HD remakes have been the last couple of years. It's actually being completely redone, and that's really exciting. It looks fantastic.
It does, and it's just the fact that you have to realize with this as well is I mean, this is essentially, you know, tidying. I mean, like Iwata said, this is tidying us over until, you know, it's like, hey, we have this new Zelda that's in the making right now, but, you know, obviously we have nothing concrete to show you, but hey, here's something that, you know, obviously a Zelda game that at first, when it first came out, you know, we all know the story as far as how much its controversy it had over its, you know, art style, and in the end it became, you know, I still think to this day, whatever, I like, you know, probably one of the better Zelda, like 3D Zelda games out mm-hmm. there, even though I still hold Majora's Mask up to a very high regard, even above Ocarina of Time. But one thing when I saw about this, whatever, once they'd seen these screens, is at first thought I was like, oh, that looks like concept art. And, you know, until I got a confirmation thinking it's like, no, those are actual in-game screens. And
yeah,
I mean, I was floored by it. And one thing I kind of actually saw online from, you know, as far as like reaction to this, I mean, half were about a majority of that there were half, but there was that small minority that were just I don't know, like, they kind of wanted to rain on the parade of this game's announcement, the fact, like, you know, it's 10 years after this game's getting released, and it's been 10 years since the last time I played this game. I mean, one of the complaints, though, is the fact, like, is this HD enhancement going to take away as far as, like, from the cel-shading, you know, graphical style? Because, obviously, that style that Wind Waker had, it's the one style out there that ages really well.
Right, yeah, I mean, you can put Wind Waker on right now, and it still looks as good as the day it was released. And that can't be said for a lot of games that were released in the GameCube generation. So, but the...
Maybe Metroid Prime, but yeah. That is... Obviously, well, with the games like, you know, released on the Wii right now is, yeah, you could definitely see its age right there. But even for that time, I mean, at least like 5 or 6 years after that game's release, it still looked good.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Yeah, yeah, for sure. I think that out of all this news, I think the biggest for me, aside, well, I mean, Wind Waker is huge, too, but is the kind of announcement of the new Zelda that it's not going to be non-linear and that they're kind of going to go in a new direction with it. I mean, they kind of have said that before with previous Zeldas, with Skyward Sword in particular, but it seems as if they're going to take this one in a new direction, and that's kind of exciting too. I mean, this console is so new, the Wii U, so they can do so many different things with it. So I'm hoping that they have something awesome up their sleeve with this.
Oh yeah, and like And during the description, though, Iwata and Anuma, they went through those conventions saying that, you know, they wanted to change the Zelda formula up. And obviously what we originally thought were supposed to see that with Skyward Sword, I mean, we saw flashes of that, but it still had that formulaic feel to it. Not to make it out that it's necessarily a bad game. It's just you obviously can tell that the series is now teetering in that line to the point where if this kind of keeps going in that same pace, you know, the formula itself is, you know, going to kind of go to waste. I mean, a series like, for instance, like Mario can kind of get away with it because it's its own little entity. You know, its own little, like, in the same sense of, like, I mean, I remember on a past podcast I mentioned I kind of compared the Zelda series to, or no, the Mario series as far as how formulaic it is, to, like, your everyday crossword puzzle. And, you know, what I meant to bear with me on that is the fact, you know, people still play crossword puzzles. They change in variation, but it's still the same concept.
Right.
I mean, I think what Iwata and both Anuma they're trying to do is they want to, you know, break this thing. You know, they want to break away from the mold and obviously, you know, kind of do this different system as far as how you play this. And one of those few things they brought up is finishing dungeons in a certain order and playing by yourself. Mm-hmm. The first one on there is an idea is like, you know, I'm guessing probably, you know, maybe you, instead of like, okay, you go to a dungeon, you get an item and, you know, you use that item to defeat an enemy, a boss, rinse, repeat. And in the case of like, I guess they want to change that up as far as like what we kind of, we saw a little change of that with Skyward Sword with each area went to, like, each, you know, area that you went to the game, it was essentially a dungeon within a dungeon.
Right.
Well, mini dungeons, to be exact. And on the subject of, like, solo play, I don't know what to think of that right now. And this is one thing that kind of fears me, is, like, I really don't want to see cooperative play in a Zelda game. I really don't. I mean, maybe they're going back to the four, like, introduce something that Four Swords had, or,
Yeah, it's going to be interesting because, I mean, you figure that they're trying to think of a way to implement the Miiverse into Zelda somehow, and I imagine that's going to take part into what they're thinking about to add into cooperative play. But I think you're right. Yeah, I mean, there's something to be said for, like, just enjoying a Zelda game solo, you know?
It is, and, you know, I'm just thinking, like, you know, that's the question, though. It's what... I mean, obviously, I mean, I'm not trying to say, this is going to be a multiplayer solely experience, whatever. I mean, obviously, keep the main game, you know, solo as far as playing by yourself as a single-player experience. It's just, are they going to add, I don't know, maybe there's a second quest where you can go along with somebody else to, you know, play with or something like that. I mean, the options are out there, and obviously we can debate about this, you know, for as long as we can, considering this game is probably about, I don't know, like 2 or 3 years away.
At least, and yeah. It seems to me as if the game is mostly in the concept stages at this moment, you know?
And not only that, I mean, well, I think it was right when they were discussing, you know, the Wind Waker reveal, they had mentioned how they were that's actually what led to the Wind Waker HD, you know, remake that they're going to be releasing this fall is they were like toying around with different like graphical styles, and one of them that they had did, I mean, they just thought like, you know what, let's apply this to Wind Waker.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess that was one good thing that we're getting out of a new Zelda that's being made is like, hey, this branches out to remaking another, like, you know, a classic 3D Zelda title. And
right.
I mean, but as far as that, I mean, Scott, I mean, what would you have to say, you know, on the issue of like, okay, finishing dungeon in a certain order and, you know, solo play? I mean, those are the things, problems that Iwata and Anuma addressed.
Well, you know, I don't really have an issue with finishing dungeons in a certain order, but I do like the option to openly explore the world. You know, if for example, you know, like in Zelda 2, where in order to bypass the mountains, you have to go to a cave and get the hammer. I think that something like that, to get a tool to move forward in the game, I think that's great. But as far as, you know, having to finish the worlds in a certain order, I don't think that's really necessary. I mean, I think that maybe there's different paths to finish the game. So maybe I don't, you know, cross that mountain now by smashing the boulder with the hammer. Maybe mm-hmm. I go a different route and I, you know, get, you know, whatever it happens to be that I need to get and branch off to another way. I mean, obviously we don't know which direction it's going to be going with the open world concept, but I think that, you know, it allows people to experience the game differently each time. So for example, you know, maybe I don't get the hammer yet. Maybe I go a different route in that instance. You know, maybe I made the game harder for myself, maybe a bigger difficulty, same outcome in the end, but it's just I'm bypassing certain steps, you know, kind of like in Zelda 2, where you try to go into some of the caves without the candle or the lamp.
Right.
Obviously, it's much harder to traverse those caves,
but
it's
still
not
possible. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'd say, yeah, like the one concept as far as like, you know, you find an area you can't traverse, and of course, once you find an item, you kind of have that aha moment, like, oh, I can go back and use this to actually progress further. And, you know, and this kind of came to me is, you know, do something. I mean, when you play a game like Skyrim, for instance, and, you know, I'm not trying to say, you know, the Zelda series should borrow everything what Skyrim does, because you can actually look at the way how Skyrim kind of borrows ideals from, like, the Zelda series as well. I mean, when you play a game like Skyrim, there is no certain order to actually beat that game. Maybe that's what they're going to try and actually to do as far as, like, you know, maybe whatever you go is, like, what direction, be it point A, point B, point C, is, you know, imagine this way. You beat a certain dungeon or you accomplish certain tasks and it affects the outcome of the game. You know, in whatever way and order you finish, it depends on, like, how, I'm guessing, how you face a certain enemy at the end or how you actually, you know, how the ending is. Maybe that's how they could actually progress as far as, like, you know, to mix and match how you can, like, finish the game.
Right, yeah, I think that, and then I think items are going to have a big impact on this too. I mean, I imagine that they're not going to stray away from the formula of getting an item and then using it to unlock a different area. I mean, maybe there will be a different way of acquiring items in this game. I mean, maybe we're just not just getting items for defeating, like, a mini boss in a dungeon. Maybe there's items hidden throughout the world that we're able to, you know, find at our own leisure and then kind of unlock areas as you go like that. I mean, I think there's a lot of possibilities that the Zelda universe has in building, like, an open world type game. I mean, I think the closest that's been to that has probably been the Ocarina of Time or the Link to the Past, because both of those you can kind of, well, once you get to the second stage of the game, you can start getting in dungeons in different orders. I mean, you don't have to go in a specific order at some point. So I don't know. It's going to be super. It's going to be really awesome to see what they do with the series at this point.
Right, and I think one thing you did mention there too is that, you know, they can go almost any direction with this, because, you know, we don't know where it is in the timeline, and what they've done with the Zelda series now is they've not really. As a series as a whole, it's not necessarily a linear series. You know, it's split off into three different branches at one point, and depending upon, you know, the outcome of a game. So, you know, I guess it could depend on where this is in the series, and who knows? Maybe this next game will be what actually ties all three timelines. You know, kind of ties them up in the end.
Mm-hmm.
So it's I'm really more so excited just to see where it falls in that timeline.
Right? Yeah, and oh, speaking of timeline, Hyrule Historia comes out this week.
Yeah, I have mine on pre-order. It's super awesome. I can't wait.
I know. Well, they actually had I don't remember, I was getting like a message from like Amazon where you actually there was about like 2,000 like versions of like a signed copy by Shigeru Miyamoto, and I still never got a note from that. But yeah, mine's coming, so I finally actually gonna be good little reading material there to actually read. But yeah.
Nice.
I wanted to kind of go back on the issue of Wind Waker. Is they had mentioned that aside from graphical style, there was going to be other features or new additions to this game, and does that mean, well, we had known after Wind Waker was released, about a year or two after it was released, there were two dungeons cut, which of course, yeah, which explained to, the tedious, mm-hmm. Triforce hunt that we did at the beginning. I mean, I couldn't remember, what was it, that game had at least, like, four or five dungeons, especially for a game that was supposed to be, like, the spiritual successor to Ocarina of Time.
Right.
I mean, do you think there's that possibility they could do that, or would that adding those in there be too much of a hassle or affect the storyline? Well, I wouldn't say it. I don't know. It's something I have high hopes for.
Yeah, it's not something that Nintendo has done in the past. I guess we've gotten like the lost levels on from the Mario series, which was already a game in Japan. But that would be definitely interesting if they added some like basically director's cut content to the game. That would to add a little bit of content. That'd be fantastic.
Or a Master Quest, for instance. I mean, that could mm-hmm. possibly that could be that. That's another strong possibility.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
This new Zelda game and the HD remake of the Wind Waker are definitely a good step for Nintendo to get people on board of the Wii U, I think. I mean, I'm not sure. I haven't really been keeping up with the numbers. I know it's not selling quite as well as like the Wii has had in the past, but I think that once people get the console in their hands and then they see some of these games on the horizon, I think it's going to be a really good thing for Nintendo.
Yeah, and that's what Nintendo actually did was, I mean, I felt like that was the reasoning for this Nintendo Direct they did is, mm-hmm. Obviously, I mean, it was essentially them saying like, hey, we know there, aside from eShop titles, we know there hasn't been any good, large scale games out right now, but hey, here's the stuff and we know it's coming out. And Wired's Chris Kohler actually, discussed about this and he'd called these titles, essentially, well, it's a term that's being thrown around, that's always been thrown around, is, vaporware, which mm-hmm. to everybody right. known is, it's these large-scale titles that are out there, but they're not released until at least 2 or 3 years from, their supposed announcement.
Mm-hmm.
So, and, I don't know, that was one thing a lot of angry fans brought this up on, I was listening to IGN's podcast, a couple of IGN podcasts, and even a couple of my friends talking on Twitter about how, they said, oh, wow, this is just games they're announced that are not going to be coming out. I'm like, well, would you rather announce nothing?
Yeah, right. It's so funny how fickle some fans can be. I mean, Nintendo announces all this great content and still not enough. But, I mean, you can't please everybody, I guess. That reminds me of it was a quote that Reggie said, I think, last year that I can't remember exactly what he was saying, but that you can't – that they bring out all these new things and then they have compilations with franchises and then still it's not enough for fans.
Yeah, it's like, they demand this, and yet they show it to them and yet they find a reason to be upset about it.
Right. Well, and you know what? Let's just run through the list of games that were talked about in the Nintendo Direct. I mean, some of the ones that we already knew were coming were Wii Fit U, Pikmin 3, Bayonetta 2, Wonderful 101, and Smash Brothers. But they all got a little bit of time to. Smash Brothers didn't get any. They didn't show any video of it. But all the other ones they were showing, they showed stuff about that, and that was really neat. But all the new ones, which are really excited, were the Wind Waker, the new Yoshi title that follows the epic Kirby's
epic
art
yarn.
Style or yeah epic yarn yeah and then Wii U Party, Mario Kart U, we have the Shin Megami Tensei Crossfire Emblem, the new Monolith Soft game, and then we talked about Zelda already. And the exciting thing is that the Mario Kart U and then was going to be actually playable at E3 this year, so I mean that's closer than we think it is. It's probably going to be this year that it's released.
Yeah, that is, I mean, that's a good thing, reassuring. And I think one thing that worried me as soon as this thing ended was I kind of hope that they didn't really spoil everything, because I'm really getting to the point like, okay, is there more stuff behind the curtain that we still don't know about? I mean, we still don't know about as far as, you know, third-party support that's coming to this console. I mean, it's kind of starting to dry up. Well, with about 2 months into this console's infancy, it's just you're kind of worried as far as, like, how are the other players going to actually be putting into this, you know, this new console?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just worried that – well, I wouldn't say I'm worried. I'm hoping that this is, like, what they announced is all that they're going to be announcing that this coming E3.
Right. Oh, and I totally forgot about the new 3D Mario game that they announced also. That's being that's being developed by the same people that did the Galaxy games and the and Mario 3D Land. So that's also supposed to be playable at A3 this year too. So that's, man, it could be a really awesome year for Wii U just with Mario Kart and the new Mario 3D game alone.
Oh yeah, and we still don't know how this new, you know, 3D Mario action title might be. I mean, if this game, you know, obviously being developed by the same team that put out probably two of the highest rated games on game rankings, and I believe Super Mario Brothers 2 is, or 1, which I keep forgetting, is the highest rated game on game rankings to this date. I mean, if you don't believe me, go look it up. It's
right.
It's kind of like surreal even to actually believe something like that beating Ocarina of Time or even a Half-Life, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
But it's if this next platformer kind of makes that jump that, you know, Sunshine to Galaxy did, I mean, it's hard to actually grasp your mind about it.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, yeah, I loved the Galaxy games. I actually liked Galaxy 2 a little bit better than I liked the first one. But
I did too.
But yeah, I mean, I don't know if they're going to stick with, like, the Galaxy-type theme or if they're going to go something completely different, but, I mean, sign me up. As long as that Tokyo development team is working on it, I'm on board.
I agree. I mean, regardless of which one they use, I mean, it's got to be awesome. I mean, taking the concept of the Galaxies or Sunshine, you know, they're going to be – it's got to be great. I mean, I love an open world game, kind of like the Galaxies and the Super Mario Sunshine, where you can just kind of wander around. I hope that there's some more interaction with the maybe non playable characters and so on.
Mm-hmm.
But it definitely is. I think that's one of the other ones I'm excited for. I actually was on in a discussion recently with some people, kind of comparing the side scroller Marios to the 3D world Marios, and it was kind of like a big back and forth, which one's better, why is, and mm-hmm. It was kind of split 50-50 between the two, and many thought that the side scrollers were just boring, they were repetitive, they were the same thing over and over again, whereas the 3D worlds were just so much better, and you could do so much more, and so on, and it was kind of cool to kind of seeing both sides kind of arguing it out, and in the end, I mean, both sides kind of agreed that you know, regardless of what it is, it's a Mario game, so it's great. But
yeah,
you know, I think it will be kind of cool to see what they do, especially after playing, you know, the new Mario that you know, that's on the Wii already. It's just, I mean, it's such a great game. I mean, I can't wait to see it in a 3D world.
Yeah, I know and to top it all off, I mean, to see what they're going to do with the Miiverse with all their new games. I mean, that's been such a selling point to me on the Wii U. I mean, I get on the Miiverse sometimes without even playing a game, without even putting a game in there, and just, you know, like, browse the what's going on in the Miiverse. It's pretty neat.
Oh yeah, and the sketches on there are very amazing.
Oh yeah,
I don't understand as far as how much people get this time, especially to do that, and especially with the stylus on there. I'm like, wow, these are such good drawings. And okay, at the beginning of that direct, were any of you just like me worried at the beginning how it just focused on Miiverse for like the first 10-15 minutes, and you're just like, oh god, here we go again.
Yeah. Yeah,
I was actually, and then, but I it kind of makes sense to me now in retrospect, because I think that's been the biggest thing for Nintendo. I think that's been their what everybody's been most excited about the Wii U, regardless of games, is the Miiverse. I mean, it's something that's never been done before, and something that I imagine Microsoft and Sony will try and copy to some extent with their next consoles.
Definitely. Or imitate, yeah. Or whatever. I mean, imitation is the sincerest form of flattery.
Right.
So, I mean, that's one thing I like to throw around as far as to be kind of little, well, kind of be a little facetious about it. Yeah. And yeah, I actually get on Miiverse just more than that whenever. I mean, although they're very big sticklers as far as like censor, like, you know, like deleting one of your messages or statuses as far as if it's inappropriate content. Like, I censored myself or something like that from like a straight quote, like, okay, I put the little I put the little pound marks into there or whatever and just make it out, and they I come back an hour later and it's like,
it's been deleted.
Yeah. I'm like, are you joking me? Yeah. I censored myself and you censored me?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I've had three deleted so far, so not too many, but one of our readers on Infendo, I forget who it was, he actually was banned from the Miiverse, I think it was, for like a week or so.
Oh wow.
So I mean, apparently there, I tried to do some research on it and write an article. I haven't found any like real thresholds of when they decide to ban you or not, or what's too far or too much. I haven't been able to find anything yet, but I thought it was actually kind of funny that that somebody actually did get banned for posting what they thought was okay.
Yeah,
I'll say that's okay. Actually, that's actually a good idea. For instance, whatever that it got me thinking. If you are a Wii U owner and you really are just disappointed with your experience and don't really care about especially last week's announcements and are dead set on the other consoles, you know, before you sell it, just post as much inappropriate stuff on Miiverse and see if you can get banned. Tell us your story. You know what? We'd love to share it.
That's right, yeah. I got only one message deleted, and it was for saying damn. I didn't know that was frowned upon these days.
I could have. Oh no! When they were showing the rundown of that, they actually showed that word on there, and I'm like,
"Oh no, kidding!"
Really? I missed that
rundown. I'm like, "Okay, you actually could say that. Okay, that's fine."
Yeah, one of my messages was deleted, but it was. I mean, you know, I wasn't too upset about it. I just thought it was funny that how much of sticklers they are censoring this kind of stuff, and who exactly has that job to censor all this kind of things. I mean, I imagine it's like probably like a computer that's going around that has like an algorithm or something with a list of banned words, or, and then I'm not sure how they're censoring pictures. I imagine
they have that lone person, whatever, in each like the divisions, be it Nintendo Japan, America, or Europe, just saying like, all right, you're just gonna look through all the stuff on there, and you have to find. I'm like, do I really have to do this? Yes, find any phallic symbol drawings on there, and go ahead.
Yeah,
that's the job you get when you make Reggie and Iwata mad.
Yeah, that's right. those interns.
Like, it's like, what did you do? It's like, what? You are on Miiverse, like, deleting detail right now. You go and do that right now.
That's funny. Yeah, no, it's cool that they're bringing the Miiverse to cell phones soon, too. Yeah. It's supposed to – they said spring, so I'm not exactly sure when that's going to be, but that's neat, even if it's just a browser-based experience.
Yeah, and I think they said they were starting it with the browser-based to at least get it started, and then eventually it's going to be an actual app.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think that's perfect. I mean, I know that you know, with your Xbox Live, you can have it on your cell phone. So I think that it's definitely the next step to go with it. And you know, just to kind of see, you know, wherever you're at, kind of how your friends are doing, or just visit the Weavers. I think the great thing about that is it kind of adds that.
You just
that
called it Weavers.
Yeah.
Did I? Okay. Sorry.
That's okay, but that's perfect, actually. Weavers.
Yeah, the Weavers. I just created the new name. I'll take a commission check for that. But yeah, basically, I mean, I think that them kind of wanting it to be somewhat of a social type network, I think that's definitely the step to go.
Mm-hmm. Now on to a little bit of negatives. What do you think about having to repay for games to get to play on the Wii gamepad, basically? Having to pay another dollar for like Super Nintendo games or another dollar for NES games, $1.50 for Super Nintendo games?
I don't have a problem. And I'll tell you why. If you transferred your games on your Wii U, obviously it's another menu, and I know it can be very, you know, tedious and troublesome at some times, but they're not forcing you to actually, you know, change this, is like to rebuy them. It's giving you a choice to actually get these extra features, which of course, you know, what this is really hard to get through a lot of people's minds is, hey, to actually port these and actually redo these like designs on there, it costs a little money. And you know what, for $1 and $1.50, I don't mind that. And to put a really good comparison to this, look at iPhone and iPad apps. I mean, for instance, like Angry Birds, Tiny Wings, even Infinity Blade. There's iPhone and iPad versions. It's like, hey, you can't transfer those over to each little, like, each platform.
Right.
But, and I just don't understand as far as, like, you know, yeah. And there are a ton of people who haven't played these games. Yeah. You can argue about, like, the original set price for NES and Super Nintendo titles, because I feel like those should be down, like, maybe $1, $1.50 more, mm-hmm. because of it's making me worried as far as, like, how much GameCube titles are going to be once those get there. I mean, I'm hoping that if they have a set price of just $10 on those, I'll be happy.
Right.
But I'm still kind of wondering how far that, like, price metric could be on that. But you're not being forced to actually rebuy this game. It's just like, hey, if you want the off-screen play, the customizable controls, you know, the stop playing, all that, you know, hey, throw us $1 or whatever for, like, the development cost to do this, whatever. And obviously, I mean, if you really want to be very bad about this, I mean, even for something like this, we criticize Nintendo about whatever, but I'm going to say they're not the only one who does this kind of stuff as far as, like, hey.
The only reason it upsets me is because I have so many games from the Virtual Console that, I mean, I understand that that obviously it takes a little bit more to get it to develop, or what, it maybe even licensing fees from Wii to Wii U. However, it's just such a bummer that this wasn't it's just not something that they're able to do, especially when the price of the NES games is already like $5. I mean, it's not cheap to buy a NES game on the Virtual Console. Although I must say that it's really cool that they are having the 30-cent sale on all those games for the next couple of months. That's really awesome. I already bought Balloon Fight, and for 30 cents. I mean, who's going to turn down a game for 30 cents?
Exactly.
People who hate themselves.
Yeah.
Well, if or it's they... Balloon Fight, I might. I mean, I have a pretty much big hate for that game, unfortunately.
Yeah. Did you like the Nintendo Land mini attraction, though?
You know, that wasn't bad. I think just the game itself, I mean, it's just kind of a side story here. I can remember when I was in junior high, so it was 7th grade, and I had, I forget which Ultima game, but it was one of the Ultima games, and you know, I played it, and I didn't really get into it all that much. I kind of just started it. And some kid at school, him and I were talking, and he said, oh, I've got this game Balloon Fight. It's really cool. You can kind of, you know, float on balloons. And he was kind of talking about it. I'm like, the way he made it sound, it was an awesome. It sounded really awesome. So, yeah. Like, okay, yeah, I'll trade you for that. So I trade him, get excited, go home, and the next day, after I trade him, and I got Balloon Fight. And, you know, I had no clue what I was getting. So I tried it, I played it, and of course, he wouldn't trade back, so yeah. I was stuck with Balloon Fight, and
he had your awesome Ultima game,
and I did, and I forget which one it was. I wish I did. I'd buy the Ultima in a heartbeat, but yeah, it was a bad experience. But other than that, I mean, as far as the games, you know, the extra fee, I kind of have mixed feelings about it. You know. I completely agree that there is a little bit of programming that takes place, and the programming costs money. They've got to pay people to do that. And I guess I'm okay with that. The other thing I'm okay with, I guess, on that is the fact that, you know, they're not forcing you to buy them all at once. So if you do have, kind of like you said, Eugene, where you have a ton of games on there, you can kind of pay for them as you play them. So if it's something you can play
or the get the ones that you want to actually have on the gameplay, exactly. On there, like, yeah, you know what, you don't have to do every single one. Again, it's a choice. Like, I mean, I would love to play. I mean, Super Metroid is going to be available for 30 cents in, I believe, May.
Yeah.
And I say this with every fiber in my being to anybody, be it younger than me, older than me. Well, somehow those who are older than me, whatever, who have not played this game, and you know, they. God have mercy on your soul, is buy this game.
Yeah, for 30 cents, that's it's a steal at 30 cents. I mean, that's definitely one of the better games that has ever been made. If not, I mean, I know it's at the top of a lot of people's all-time favorite games lists. So, I mean, Super Metroid's just fantastic.
Absolutely. So, I mean, overall, though, I mean, there's many games like that that you can't live without. So having them on the TV and on the gamepad just... You know, it's a no-brainer. But there are a lot of games out there, like, you know, like you just mentioned Balloon Fight. I would never pay the extra money to have that, yeah. You know, on the gamepad. So I think that there are maybe certain games that maybe they should just go by popularity or whatnot.
Yeah, I think that Nintendo, hopefully this is kind of like a testing ground for like kind of sales that they're going to do in the future, because I imagine that, I mean, at 30 cents, they can't be making too much of a profit. But I mean, if with the sheer volume of people that are going to be buying them, hopefully that it'll be a good business move for them.
Yeah. Well, one thing I could see in the if they did it in the future, I mean, in, you know, there's of course no plan for this, but if the gamepad in the future, say a year or 2 years down the line, had a capability of maybe being Wi-Fi capable, so you can kind of take it wherever you go, connect to like a Starbucks Wi-Fi or whatnot. In that case, I would say 100% do it, because then, I mean, you'd be able to contact your Nintendo ID via the Wi-Fi, play it right there. That would be fantastic. But we're not there yet, if we ever will be. So I think that's where I'm kind of mixed.
Right.
And, well, one thing when they announced on there is, like, we're only getting at first, I think, Super Nintendo and NES titles at first, but this is the one thing that surprised me. I kind of had a bit of a really confused look on my face when I got, like, the news. Game Boy Advance titles are coming there. And
yeah.
Brought me to the idea, I'm like, okay, are they stiffing, you know, 3DS owners, or is this going to bring in the possible 3DS to Wii U connectivity idea, where you can transfer this title to like your 3DS.
Right, and that would be something that I would be willing to pay like a dollar fee on top of like a let's say you can buy a GBA game for $5-6. I would pay another extra dollar to have it on both consoles. That's definitely something that I would do. I think I would see a huge value in that. So I hope that there's something that they have something like that in the works.
Definitely. I completely agree with that one.
Yeah, the going back to the virtual console, though, I mean, we've seen lots of games on the virtual console on the Wii, but there's definitely a bunch that have been missing, like specifically Earthbound comes to mind, and that's one of the games that's actually being released in Japan, I think, next month. So hopefully we start getting some more of the obscure, like, SNES and NES games that haven't been released on any of the platforms yet. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, if we get some – I mean, you know, for a service that ended up getting, you know, Sin and Punishment over here for the first time ever, I mean, it's possible. But whereas with Earthbound, again, it's a little tricky because, I mean, there's copyright issues. I mean, I did it for as long as I had not played the game since I was like in elementary school, but I did not realize as I was growing up that there was licensed music in it.
Yes. Yeah, I think one of the tracks is even sampled from one of a Beatles song. So I mean, that's that alone, the Beatles are going to be.
Yeah, that's yeah. I'll say when you decide to borrow a copy from like a, you know, from a Beatles song, and given the history of, you know, the Beatles label, and especially with, you know, Apple computers, there's a lot of hoops to jump through that. So, I mean, I can understand the weight or the trouble as far as trying to get it there. I mean,
yeah,
where people tend to forget, like, I remember when I first showed off, like, the virtual console service when I had a Wii, and they're saying, like, oh, when's GoldenEye going to come to this? I'm like, there's a little problem with that. I mean, well, two things. Well, one, not necessarily a big hurdle, but they could do. I mean, obviously, the developer, Rare, who had done it, had left, was bought up by Microsoft. Mm-hmm. And, of course, Nintendo does not own the Bond license anymore. The Bond license has gone through about, I don't know, at least two or three publishers since, like, 1998.
Right, yeah. And yeah. A couple of years back, there was actually I think GoldenEye was supposed to go on to the Xbox Live Arcade. I think but Nintendo kind of disallowed it because, you know, they kind of own part ownership of the GoldenEye license. Well, the specific game. So that's too bad also, because
that was like a three-way like copyright battle. But I think it was just not only Nintendo, but aside from like Microsoft, it was also Activision. So you have those three parties. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you have those three parties involved. It's not really going to be really that great of a discussion trying to get this thing on there. I mean, when I first saw the screens, and it actually looked beautiful. But yeah. I mean, luckily though, GoldenEye, the remake of that, actually tied me over a little bit. And you know what, I still find that to be like one of my favorite Wii titles.
Yeah, it's actually really good. I liked the GoldenEye. What was it? Reloaded? Is that what it was called? was a really good game. I mean, obviously it wasn't a remake of the GoldenEye game, but it did a really good homage to it. It was really good.
It wasn't necessarily a cash grab, but it was a good reimagine. I mean, it was not like just giving you the same game, but a different perspective as far as like, hey, just like any other Bond film, we're just going to put, you know, modernize this one, but also, you know, putting in, you know, aside from Daniel Craig's likeness, but just modernizing it, whatever, like the Bond series did when Daniel Craig first stepped in with the Casino Royale.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I mean, getting away from the Nintendo Direct a little bit, I mean, there was another recent announcement of the Pokemon X and Y games, I mean, for the 3DS. I don't know if you guys are interested in the Pokemon games, but this was another...
I'm pretty interested in this one. I mean, it just... Once again, I was still, like anybody else, hoping for that Pokemon MMORPG. But
yeah.
Like anything else, it's never going to happen.
Right. Well, the one thing that really gets me with this one is that it's finally looks like new. I mean, it's a 3D world, and it looks like the Pokemon battles are going to be in 3D, and then so that means that they're going to be new models. It's not going to be like sprites anymore. So I mean, I don't know how people feel about that, but that excites me definitely.
And this one, I think, is, well, correct me if I'm wrong, but this one is including all the Pokemon from all, like, you know, from various generations, but again, or is this a first? Or, I mean, correct me on the wrong one, Eugene.
Yeah, all the Pokemon are in, like, let's say Black and White 2, but you cannot get all the Pokemon in Black and White 2 solely. Like, you have to link with, it's a huge process. Like, to get all the Pokemon on Black and White 2, you would have to play Pearl and Diamond, and then you would have to put in a GBA pack into there with Fire Red and those ones and Emerald and whatever into your DS to like transfer it via like PAL Park, and it's a huge process. But yeah, this one, it's supposedly you should be able to catch them all directly on the game, because it's the first 3DS game, so there won't be any way to transfer from like a GBA PAL Park type experience, you know.
Right, and yeah, I had heard that too, and I think that's a great way to get everybody back into the series and really get people hyped about it. I mean, having to kind of link with the old past games, like you said, it's kind of a pain, and you know, people would play through, at least some of the people that I know, they would play through the newer games, and you know, they'd kind of stop there. They wouldn't kind of go backwards to link up and everything. You know, with this is. I've actually seen a lot of excitement around it. I mean, one, the legendaries look fantastic.
Yeah.
I mean, they're just awesome. I mean, the character designs seem to be great. I have had a few people say that they don't like the idea that they've gone away from the sprites, that it almost doesn't feel like a Pokemon game anymore. I have a feeling, though, that, you know, those people, obviously, they're fans. They're going to pick it up. I think that they're going to fall in love with it once they start playing. The only thing that I'm wondering, though, is now that it's kind of a 3D environment, is, you know, are you going to have the obstacles like the tree that's in your path, the sleeping Snorlax? Are they going to keep those in there, maybe kind of make fun of themselves a little bit for it, or are they just going to get rid of that altogether?
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how the game design works that way.
Definitely. But overall, I mean, I'm pretty excited about it. You know, I'm not sure which one I'm wanting more right now, X or Y, but I think that, you know, as it comes closer, I'll make a better decision.
It is, and this is actually a very good version to, you know, it just again reiterates how far the 3DS has come, you know, from having such an abysmal launch and just struggling at the gate. Then you had that first leg with this price cut, and you know, now everything's just looking so great for it. And with the case of this one, you know, coming out fall, I mean, it's, I feel like as far as this game is going to be, it's, you know, these series of the game are going to be the one that actually pushes the 3DS out the door further.
Yeah, and that's how Pokemon games typically have been. I mean, if you look to what the DS Pokemon games did, I mean, those came a little bit later in the DS's life cycle, but they totally catapulted sales of DS in Japan and North America, and I imagine that it'll go tenfold for the 3DS here with the Pokemon X and Y. I mean, Pokemon games always sell super well.
Definitely. And with it coming out so quickly after Black and White 2, I think that's, that's just gonna help sales too. I mean, people they just got off that Black and White 2 gameplay. They're excited to beat it, but sad that it's you know that they did beat it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is just like right afterwards, so it's going to really, you know, get those people pumped to buy the game.
Right, and now I hope that they do some neat stuff with the capabilities of the 3DS. I mean, if you had Black and White and you played on a DSi, there was a way that you could actually video chat through the game, which was kind of neat. But now the 3DS, every 3DS has a camera, so that it'll be interesting to see if they allow things like that on the 3DS, if they do anything neat with those features of the console, or if they do anything like with, say, this accelerometer to do like a I don't know, like put a pedometer in the game or something like that. So where if you walk every a couple of steps or a couple hundred steps, then you can like make your egg hatch or, you know, little things like that. I mean, it'll be cool. It's going to be really awesome.
Wow. Something like that and incorporated this like a street pass into it,
mm-hmm.
I mean, people are going to take the 3DS everywhere just to, one, you know, hatch an egg, for example, every step they take,
mm-hmm.
and then, you know, meet up with people on the street. You know, the random Pokemon battles when you're walking around the mall or in the park,
yeah.
or whatever, it could be pretty awesome.
Yeah, there are so many possibilities. I mean, I don't think there's ever been anything quite like what Nintendo's done with the Street Pass and what they do with the 3DS. And not too many games have taken full advantage of it, but the ones that have are just like, it's just mind blowing what you can do with that kind of technology.
Yeah, definitely.
It is, and, you know, it's actually, I mean, even after that announcement, it actually finally, you know, yeah, I'm getting close to buying a 3DS, don't worry. It's just, I find, you know, for somebody, like, I've been working very hard as far as, like, getting extra hours of shifts at work, and I'm right now, it's just a matter of, like, am I going to do it this week or next week?
But, are you going to get an XL? Do you want one of the big ones?
Yes, I do. But again, yeah. Like I said in the past, it's like, can you come out with a different color, please?
Yeah. Well, you can get – don't worry. Hopefully soon the Pokemon DSi XL, the Pikachu version, so you can get a bright yellow one.
Yeah.
Have you seen that one?
Yes, I've seen that one. It's just I can just – see that as far as opening up, and, you know, I just hold out to my face, whatever, to hide myself, and that Pikachu face just right in the front just creeps me everybody out. But no, but my brother's roommate, who I live up here, he just recently, today, just bought a 3DS, and mm-hmm. he, like, comes in with a, you know, bag from GameStop, like, guess what I bought today? I'm like, you bought a 3DS, pulls it out, and he just got a deep purple 3DS.
Oh, nice.
I love his color choice.
I think the coolest one that I've seen, like that a special edition ones, is the Charizard one. I don't know if you've seen that.
Yeah.
It came out in Japan, but that one's really cool.
That is really cool. I actually have a friend who lives in England. He's he just started as a school teacher there, a music teacher, and it was probably within the last couple of weeks. He did an unboxing video for his Pikachu 3DS XL because they released it there, and he was right on it to get that. I mean, he's a huge Pokemon fan, and he was just so excited that he got it. So, you know, I'm sure that it's probably sitting in the top drawer of his desk at school, and in between periods he's playing the yeah. system.
That's right. He's probably all of his school kids are probably real envious of him at that point.
Oh, I'm sure they are, and he's a cool guy. So, I mean, he's definitely you know, I'm sure it's probably worked its way into a couple of the conversations in class,
yeah.
if not some of the Pokemon music in class.
Right. Yeah, that's right. Oh, that's awesome, actually. I didn't think about that. Since he's a music teacher, I bet you he could probably come up with all kinds of cool stuff. Pokemon has really fantastic music, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah. And for one of his finals there in for his class, him and a girl he knows teamed up and did a version of Tsutake Dane from Final Fantasy. And he kind of – I think he was some background vocals and played some music in the background while she's singing. It's awesome.
Nice. That's awesome. That is really cool. Man, there's so many good games on the horizon for 3DS and Wii U. I mean, it's really going to shaping up to be a good year, even though the first couple of months aren't going to be very strong Nintendo-wise. I mean, Iwata even apologized for that in the Nintendo Direct, but come March on, I mean, it's going to be
It is.
It's going to
yeah.
be just great.
Yeah, it's these next I mean, I was listening to, Adam Sussler was, he's now with Revision 3, and he does, I guess, in place of his, Sussler's soapbox. It's Sussler's something. And he did his 2013 like predictions, and he had mentioned about, okay, obviously there's going to be two new consoles. I mean, I would get that out of the way, but it's a matter of like whoever goes in the 2014 is going to be making a great mistake. Mm-hmm. And I'm still holding it as a wild card, thinking like, you know, as far as like getting all things that all the like everybody's like, you know, ducks in a row. And Microsoft, well, Sony didn't even announce that they're not going to be announcing their console first. They're going to allow Microsoft to, you know, play their cards first. So I'm not sure how that's going to play to their advantage. Maybe to the fact that, like, you know, they want to see how Microsoft approaches it. And, you know, who knows? I mean, when Microsoft first unveiled the 360, I remember that being kind of like a disaster. I mean, they unveiled it, I think it was like on MTV or something like that. And yeah. It just was not met with – it was met with such much negative criticism, not for like the console itself, but the way it was presented, and even just – yeah, I think the same way as how like the Wii U is kind of going as far as like, you know, its graphical capabilities. It's like, you know, can this thing push out enough power to actually, you know, get good ports, or, you know, not get the shovelware that we've seen, you know, in the Wii, like its predecessor's life cycle. Mm-hmm. But he had mentioned – Sussler had also mentioned that – from the summer up to maybe, you know, from like the May to September, we're going to see a big, big, big drought, you know, as far as games. And, you know, I had to believe him on that, because, you know, once you get all this stuff that's announced at E3, it's just basically, you know, hey, hunker down. It's just, you're going to have to wait for these next consoles to come out.
Right.
But I mean, that's what I feel like is Nintendo's main opportunity. Like, hey, strike here, build up your install base. And if you get your sales up to like a good steady point where, you know, you're good enough probably being ahead for about a year and a half, yeah, be my guest, please. You know, we need, aside from, you know, these little eShop titles, and I love how they're doing, you know, this cert, like with the eShop, you know, being more caring to like, you know, indie developers and even in indie development, this is your opportunity. It's just, you know, once you have with this first few months, it just feels like, you know, are you guys dropping the ball with this?
Right. Yeah. And on top of that, I mean, Nintendo, it's really an important year for Nintendo, because it's speculated that Microsoft and Sony could potentially bring out their new consoles as early as this November. So if Nintendo wants to kind of gain some traction with this Wii U, they need to, you know, make sure that they're bringing out games and partnering with publishers to make sure that they're bringing out all of their AAA games onto the Wii U as well. So it's definitely going to kind of a delicate time for Nintendo to see if they want to see what goes on with the Wii U. But I have faith that the consumers are going to see what the Wii U does and what it does great, and just kind of go with it, because I don't think that there's never been any other console where you can take the console with you on the go into the restroom or into the kitchen when you're cooking, mm-hmm. or into the living room, you know, and have a full console experience right in your hands. And I think that's where the strength of the Wii U really lies.
I almost think that Nintendo probably has some cards up its sleeve that they're not really throwing out there yet and holding back, mm-hmm. waiting for E3 to happen to see what happens with Microsoft and Sony. You know, they've kind of hinted, of course, at the new Zelda game and a new Super Smash Brothers and a new Mario Brothers 3D type game, but we haven't seen anything about them yet. So I mean, I know they mentioned that we might see more E3 on some of those games.
Yeah.
But I have to wonder if there's going to be a lot more at E3 or in the future that they just aren't giving us hints on yet. You know, maybe some of those third party developers are there and they're just not letting it out yet until they have to.
Right.
One thing I have seen though, kind of with Microsoft and Sony, and I think that, you know, obviously neither of them really wants to let out what they have first, because they don't want the other one playing on that and kind of one-upping them with another feature that maybe they were going to hold till later or whatnot. So it's kind of a tough time, I think, for both of them to kind of let out what they actually have. I think Nintendo was perfect letting the system out last year when it did, because it's getting it into people's hands with some really great games that have been out there, hinting at some more really great games, and then, you know, showing us those games at E3 to keep the excitement up. But, you know, some of the specs on the new that I've seen that are supposedly, of course, leaked, so, you know, they could mean nothing with the next Xbox or PS PlayStation system. But, for example, with the Xbox, I've heard that they're not even going to call it like a 720 or whatever that the rumors are out there. It's just going to be simply an Xbox.
That would be interesting, actually. That'd be funny to see how that turns out with consumers.
Exactly. It's kind of like the iPad 3, though. But they never really kept the iPad 3 name. They just said iPad.
Yeah.
So that's one thing I've heard. But one video I've seen, which was kind of it wasn't a concept video. It was an actual, you know, in action video. Is that they kind of took I guess they're calling it the Illuma Room, where you can actually there's a projector kind of goes along with the system, and then you've got, of course, your Kinect and so on. And while you're there, the projector actually projects beyond your TV screen onto the wall in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm mixed about what I saw there, because it's kind of they had like bookshelves and plants and stuff next to there, and playing a game, especially if you like playing Call of Duty, for example.
Mm-hmm.
If you have, you know, somebody coming at you from outside of the TV viewing area up on the wall, you know, it's kind of hard to see them there because of the fact that, you know, you've got all this different texture that it's projecting on. But it did show, like, on the bookcase, there was an area where, like, I think, like, a bomb went off or something. And the projector and the cameras were able to see the outline of, like, baskets and books and so on the bookcases, and actually made it look like they were actually shaking on there.
Oh, that's
so neat. It was really, really cool, but it might be a little bit too much. And, you know, who knows if it's even something that will be there at the launch. But seeing that it was actually something in action that they've actually developed and so on, that was kind of cool. But I still don't see that really going up against, you know, a Nintendo, which is kind of night and day in that aspect. However, they do have a Surface tablet that does not run Windows 8 or RT, but it only connects to, like, Xbox Live, apparently. I guess it's there and it's ready to use, but they haven't, of course, released it yet. But it has access to your apps, your music, your videos, and it kind of, when I was reading it, it just hit me that it's a Wii U gamepad, probably more of a tablet form, probably not doesn't have the gamepads or anything on there, but that's basically what it is. So they've kind of taken that idea and made it their own, which they obviously have the technology to do with all the tablets and so on out there. Sony was a little bit different, though. The only thing I really saw with them is that they improved their PS Move, where if you're playing like a fighting game, you can attach controllers to like your hands and your legs. So if you're actually doing a fighting game, you can kick and you can do flips and stuff and actually have your character do the same thing. That I didn't see it in action. That was just like kind of a concept type thing. But, you know, if that's what they're coming out with, I think Nintendo, whatever Nintendo has up their sleeve, I mean, they could blow them away.
Yeah. And it's funny too, that you mentioned Sony and Microsoft kind of holding back what they're going to do with it, because there was an article recently on a CVG on computer and video games, and they had supposedly a source that's working on the next Sony console, the codenamed Orbis, saying that there's actually going to be a new controller. They're getting away from the DualShock mode, and that supposedly it's supposed to also have a touchscreen a la the gamepad. So go figure. That's what Sony's working on. I mean, it's obviously it's all rumors and speculations right now, but yeah,
don't be surprised if they decide to use, you know, Nintendo's D-pad, because it's, well, Nintendo's patent on their the D-pad has ran out about 8 years ago, mm-hmm. back in 2005. So there's every opportunity I should do that. And you know what, for whatever Microsoft does, I'm happy if you use that D-pad, whatever, for your next console, because what you have right now is a perfect controller. That's the only thing I cannot stand.
Yeah, I agree. The D-pad is, it's just so conducive to gaming. I mean, what Sony has I don't even know what it's called there, but that I definitely prefer that even over what Microsoft has on the Xbox 360 controller.
I agree. Yeah. And it just, I mean, it's, They're obviously with a few problems with the gamepad. I mean, as far as battery life, which, by the way, I believe Nyko is coming out with a battery extender to that. So I'm happy to actually, you know, finally get a few charges out of that one, because so many times, whenever I'd be playing Nintendo Land, whatever, and I'd have to just recharge that computer or recharge my gamepad.
I told you y'all already about my terribleness of keeping the extra charging cable from my Wii U that broke. So I actually have the two cables, so it's that big of a deal for me, because I actually have my stand in my where kind of right next to my Wii U, and then I also have an additional charging cable next to the couch where I sit. So I mean, it's still kind of a hassle to always have it plugged in, because I mean, it almost always has to be plugged in. It dies constantly. But yeah, hopefully this Nyko battery pack will get a couple of extra hours out of it.
Yeah, I think it's supposed to give about maybe an extra 2 or 3 hours out of it, unless I'm in there, because if that's fine with me. If something like that can get 6 hours, it should. But for something that's takes around like two and a half hours to charge, and just 3 hours of, you know, constant use where it's about to die, you know, I'm happy for that. Anything to extend that, so it just gets that annoyance out of the way.
Yeah, I think that they're supposed to be coming out with two different types of the batteries too. Nyko is one of them is, I think it's like the U battery or U boost or something like that, and it's like basically just attaches to the back of the gamepad, and the other one is an actual battery replacement that you unscrew the back, and then you can switch out the battery for one that's got an extended playtime. And both of them being good options, and actually I'm definitely gonna end up getting one of those when it launches, for sure.
Definitely. You know, I have to wonder though, I mean, with it being a gamepad plus tablet combined, you know, with an iPad or an Android device tablet, you know, you can get 10 plus hours of battery time on those, whether if you're playing games or surfing the internet and so on. I just wish they could find a way to get that battery life into the gamepad.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm not going to complain about 2 more hours of battery life or 2 plus hours. I mean, obviously that's, you know, huge, huge progress there. I mean, it's not quite doubling the battery life, but it's pretty darn close. But still, I just wish there was a way for them to get that extra power.
Right. I mean, the Wii U has enough – the gamepad has enough space where they could just install a larger battery without adding – hopefully not adding too much more weight. So you have to figure that Nintendo has something like that working, because that's one of the problems with the Wii U, is that the gamepad battery just does not last.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, I mean
it's horrendous, but – you know, it's one of the few things that we have to get away with it. I mean, obviously, you know, from like slow operating system issues, which of course, you know, Nintendo Direct, I want to address that we're going to get to, you know, two specific system updates that are going to correct this, one in the spring, one in the summer. So it's good that they're listening to this, as far as to, you know, being what we know in the Nintendo past, Nintendo in the past, them being stubborn about these issues.
Right. With those system updates too, I mean, it's going to be nice that the console startup time and then the switching between menus is supposed to be a lot faster too. So, I mean, that's something that they can do with these firmware updates, and I'm all for it.
Definitely. And I think that it's really cool that they're able to do it with just a firmware update. I mean, obviously there's programming times involved and testing and so on to make sure it works correctly, but you know, it's cool that they can do that. I mean, if this was, you know, with some of the older consoles before the even the internet, you know, an NES console, I mean, really you'd have to buy a new console. I mean, mm-hmm. There's really no way around it. So, you know, the fact that they can do that is just it's amazing. So, I mean, it sounds like from Nintendo Direct there's quite a bit that they're working on, and the two-phase process this spring that they're going to do it on is pretty awesome. Who knows what else they'll do? I mean, it can only get better.
Yeah, although if it breaks my console again, I by golly, I might just throw something. But
well, we all know Reggie listens. Yeah. We all know Reggie listens to this, so I'm sure he'll have an autographed one coming your way.
Yeah, that's right. And I already expect that, Reggie, right now. So in preparation of this console update. But yeah, no, it's going to be Nintendo has a lot of things going for them right now, and a lot of things that are hindering them too. So hopefully that they play to their strengths with the Wii U and the 3DS in the next couple of years, because that's what we got. This is the console, and quite frankly, I mean, it's my favorite console right now that I have. I mean, I haven't turned on my Xbox 360 or my PlayStation 3 for a long time now that I've had my Wii U. I mean, there's just so much to do on there, and having the option of playing the game on the gamepad without having to have the TV on, that's just – I didn't expect it to be such a big deal, but it really has been to me. I mean, it's one of the greatest features of the console.
I'm the same way. I'm sitting here in the game room today doing the podcast, and you know, I'm looking at all my consoles, and I got Rob the Robot staring at me on the top shelf, and all the way, you know, to an old Atari Pong machine.
Rob the Robot staring at, please play me.
Yeah, yeah.
That's never gonna happen
for so long.
Yeah, he's probably got a layer of dust up there, but you know, I have it. I mean, my daughter's played the Xbox 360, but that's the extent of what's been played in this room right now since I got the Wii U. I mean, I haven't turned anything on, and I'm okay with that. I mean, what I've got on the Wii U is just it's working perfect for me. It's you know, everything I need right now. You know, I just finally yesterday beat Super Mario Wii, and I mean, it was, you know, it's so good. I'm actually now going back, and I'm trying to get 100% completion on it, because I kind of – the little bit of time I got to get to play here and there, I kind of rushed through some of the levels. So, you know, it's there's just so much to do in the game, and, you know, I'm okay with that. I don't need to go back and play anything else right now.
Right, yeah, and it's funny too, because my my girlfriend who lives with me, she's actually plays the console probably as much or more than I do, and the games that she plays surprises me. I mean, she is so addicted to Call of Duty. I was looking at the playtime on
you have a winner.
Yeah, right. I was looking at the playtime on my console and on her because I don't really play online on Call of Duty, so it's mostly been her. But she's played for 8 days of gameplay time on Call of Duty, and I was just floored. I was like, "Oh my goodness, that's just." But
I would say she's probably at sixth prestige right now, or something like that.
She's sitting next to me right now, actually, and she's just on the gamepad, just oblivious to our whole conversation because she's got the gamepad, she's got her headphones in, and she's you know, because you can voice chat and everything like that with the console that way, and she just completely loves it. It's funny to that it turned out that way, that she plays that game more than I do.
Nice.
Yeah, but it's definitely the only console that we have played in the last, I mean, since November, really, since we've gotten it. I mean, I've turned on the Xbox 360 a couple of times here and there to play some games, but I mean, nothing like what I've had with the Wii U. It's a constant addition. I mean, be it the TV functionality with watching sports games and getting on the TV, or turning on the just like browsing to see what's on the TV, and then, you know, scrolling through and like, oh, I want to watch that show, and then you just click it and boom, it turns on your TV. It's just little things like that I did not expect at all to really enjoy have really become a part of my entertainment experience.
Definitely. And, you know, the TV, I mean, looking at that, you know, when I first got it and started using it, I mean, I thought, it's okay. It's, you know, it's not really anything there yet. But the more and more I use it and then start to get into conversations with people as I'm watching, you know, it's something that I find that I'm not even thinking about it. I'm watching a show and I'm picking it up. The only time I really have any thoughts of doing it is when I can't find what I want to watch if it's not there.
Right.
I mean, the BCS Bowl a couple weeks ago, you know, we won't go into details on that game, but basically,
I feel your sympathy for that whenever. And I mean, I know we're going to go off topic right now for this one. I mean, considering how my alma mater is now in the SEC at the moment, like has just been introduced in the SEC, its first year in the SEC, and everybody and my friends who went to Mizzou just wanted to root for Bama, whatever. And I'm thinking, like, I can't stand that. I mean, I can't stand that university. Sorry for anybody who's listening who's an Alabama fan, like a alum or anything like that. And I can't stand Nick Saban. And yet they just had this very odd look on their face thinking, like, why would you root for Notre Dame? It's like, because it's the lesser of two evils, you know?
Yeah. That's right. It's been a rough couple weeks here in South Bend, Indiana. So it wasn't the best game. And then, of course, with one of our players being in a controversy, that was kind of – it's been crazy. But, I mean, the game, though, it wasn't on the TVs. So when I was scrolling through trying to find it, I mean, there was an icon for it, but it wouldn't go anywhere. So that was kind of disappointing. But I'm sure, like, when the Super Bowl comes around, it will be there. Okay. At least I'm hoping it will be.
Oh, yeah, that's going to be awesome, actually. I mean, Twitter and Facebook have been interesting with social networking and sports. But, I mean, with TV, I think that I almost like it better than jumping on Twitter and talking about things like that. Yeah. TV-wise, you know, I mean, being able to keep up with, like, certain plays and talking about it, giving plays yas or whatever. I mean, it's just so neat.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I actually, one of my comments that got banned, I was watching the second day of the American Idol. I mean, I'm a fan, so, you know, people can make fun of me, I'm sure. But I was watching it, and there was a part where somebody gave one of the judges a shirt, and I meant to type in free shirts, just being stupid, and I skipped the R, so it didn't say shirts. And right then, like Harrison, I you know, when he censored himself, I went, oops, shirts. And, unfortunately, I logged in the next day and I got the message saying that my comment was deleted. So
it's like your Wii U console is banned for the day. I'm sorry, Mr. Pratt.
I mean, we can go on and on about all the new features of the Wii U and still be talking about it. But I have to be eating crow about what Nintendo and their online services, because I remember the weeks leading up to the Wii U, I was so negative on what they were going to do with their online services, and they've completely blown me away with everything that they've done. I mean, so not it's not anything conventional like Xbox Live, but it's different. It's like off the norm, and that's what's really interesting about it.
It is, and you know, there's still room for improvement.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, this is obviously not perfect to the point. I mean, it's a good stepping stone for Nintendo, you know, going into this area that they have no experience, you know, not the best experience at all. But you know, it's what they're putting into this right now. It may not have, you know, the great feature like all of the features that Live has, or, you know, the good little, I mean, well, I'm just going to leave PSN out of this, given its, you know, recent troubles as far as being hacked. So we'll just put that to the side. But yeah, there's room for improvement for this right now. And, you know, and I really hope that they announce new things that they're going to be doing with Miiverse and how they're going to be implementing online, and even new apps that they're going to put on there. I mean, I hope they actually do this as far as, like, not what they did with the Wii, you know, here's Netflix, or no, here's Hulu and here's Netflix, and it's just, you know, darkness for the next, you know, year and a half before any new apps come out. Right. I mean, I could obviously see an ESPN3 or something like that coming to, like, you know, the Wii U. Obviously that's implemented with the Nintendo TV. Maybe something that implements that itself. Also, one thing I noticed when I was doing with a Nintendo TV signing up for it, and I'm not sure if I mentioned the last podcast, but when you had to list your options for, you know, favorite teams, it had, like, okay, NBA, college basketball, college football. Baseball, baseball and NFL.
And no hockey, yeah.
I'm giving you the squinty eye, Nintendo, really. I'm really not. Here's one thing that really kind of upset me a little bit when I was going through the NFL teams. There was at least two teams that I saw in there that they used the old logos. Arizona Cardinals, for instance, one they had not used since, like, 2007.
Oh, I didn't even realize that, actually. That's funny. Well, is hockey on the Nintendo TV now?
I'm sure you can with, like, NBC Sports Network or whatever package you have on there. But as far as favorite teams, I don't think it's on there yet.
Interesting. That's funny. I didn't know that, because obviously hockey's back and it's back in a big way. Although it's a short season, but I think that kind of makes it a little bit more exciting. I think every game.
It's takes away from the marathon like, you know, instead of being a full season, it's like, hey, you're not doing a marathon. As soon as you start the season, it's a sprint. And it's making things very interesting so far right now. So, I mean, I'm glad to do that. And knowing that it's probably my favorite sport to watch and attend live, even though soccer is my first love. But also, it's It's just great to have it back. That is, I mean, that was probably the best late Christmas present I ever got.
Yeah. Well, before we close off the podcast, I want to talk about just one more game that Nintendo talked about in the Nintendo Direct, and that's the Monolith Soft game. It looks like it's going to be a part of the Xeno saga type of, or the Xeno series, but I mean, all that we know that is. Know of it is that it's X, because that's what they released at the end of the trailer for it. But man, that game just looked so beautiful. And
it does. Oh, it does.
And to take a little, I mean, obviously with the hardware that Monolith Soft can put on there, I mean, it just goes to show. I mean, from even the short little glimpses we have on there, I mean, this is quite a big expanse of RPG that we're going to possibly, get for this console. And, given the state of, Japanese RPGs in the States right now, even Xenoblade Chronicles kind of, like, to this generation, I can still say that's probably one of the better RPGs this past generation, even sure. Better than Final Fantasy XIII.
Oh, definitely better than Final Fantasy XIII.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And with, and what Takashi and his team over at Monolith did with the first Xenoblade, or I guess Xenoblade Chronicles, this one looks like it's going to be head and shoulders above it. Not just graphically, but I mean, gameplay wise, it looks like it's going to be a little bit more seamless. And the music already sounds like it's going to have a great soundtrack. I can't remember the composer. It's like a Hiroshi somebody. But everything about that minute and a half trailer that was shown just really got me excited about playing RPGs on my Wii U. And I think the Wii U is actually the perfect console for RPGs, because you can actually play them on the gamepad in addition to like watching a sporting event on your television. You don't have to solely have the TV on. And I mean, I don't know. It's gonna be interesting to see how RPGs hold up on the Wii U. And this is definitely gonna be one that I'm gonna pick up.
I can't wait. I mean, with me, RPGs are hands down my favorite style of gameplay.
Mm-hmm.
Regardless of what kind it is, but I find myself, at least now, if I'm sitting down watching TV, I just finished Final Fantasy IV on my iPhone,
mm-hmm.
and I played it almost exclusively while I'm on the couch watching TV at night, trying to relax. I'm playing that, watching whatever's on TV, so I'm kind of doing double duty there. And just to have it, the opportunity to have it on the gamepad is just going to be fantastic. Or, I mean, even, secondarily, I mean, if I play it on the TV, hopefully with an option to use, like, the gamepad as a menu screen or whatnot, heal my character, whatever it happens to be during a battle. I mean, I can't wait to see what happens. But going back to the trailer itself that they showed, I mean, that, my jaw was dropped. I mean, I can't wait for it to come out.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. It's I was thinking after the Nintendo Direct about the way that I consume video games and the way that I consume RPGs, and all of my favorite ones, well, most of my favorite RPGs that I can think back on were on handhelds. And most of the reason why that was is because I could be doing something else, or I could be mm-hmm. on the go and playing a game, or not completely having my focus on the game, because if it's a turn-based game, you can kind of let it sit there like a Pokemon. But with the gamepad, with the implementation of the gamepad, we can actually have full console-like experience with that with that same concept, where I can be watching a Lakers game, or I can be watching Everton playing in the EPL, but I at the same time I can have my gamepad on and kind of be fiddling around in a monster battle or something like that.
I'm surprised your gamepad's still alive, given the Lakers' performance this year.
hey, they won today, and they won, and they beat Utah on Friday. So that's, I mean, we're still sub .500, but we're making progress.
That's all that counts.
I could just picture, this is the worst fear I could see for gamepad usage, whatever, during sporting events while you're watching on Nintendo TV. You're just sitting there commenting, and if you're just so frustrated watching. I'm thinking it's the same way, whatever, when I'm holding a 360 controller and I'm playing Halo 4, multiplayer, and I'm just getting so frustrated, whatever, being getting spawn screwed at some beginning. He'll I'm like just squeezing the controller. I'm like, oh god, that thing's gonna get squeezed so to the point where it just crack.
I gotta say, it's been a tough sporting year for me. I mean, with my San Diego Chargers just completely folding halfway through the season, basically, and kind of not caring about anything, firing their head coach, getting rid of their general manager, and then now the Lakers with Dwight and Kobe drama, and yeah, it's been tough, but you know,
it could be worse. You could be the New York Jets or the Jacksonville Jaguars.
That's true. That is true. I guess I gotta count my lucky stars for that one.
But back on the subject of X trailer is one thing I took away from like looking at, well, observing it is there's options, I guess, for other players to play into this, and I'm not sure if this is going could be locally or even online. Mm-hmm. Because when the trailer, you have obviously your first player fighting, I'm guessing, these different types of enemies, which very Monster Hunter-esque.
Mm-hmm.
And off in the distance, you see another, I'm guessing, like a multiple player, like a reticle in the background, you know, fighting a different monster. And I'm thinking to myself, oh, this could be either, you know, obviously, you know, there's going to be, you know, multiplayer aspects to this or online implementation to this. If it is, you know, the latter, this could be a good, you know, like another like idea for as far as like stepping in for Nintendo's like online base, because obviously they haven't really put any online games on this console, obviously, that show off that, and they need to soon.
Yeah, well, I mean, we're going to be getting Monster Hunter 3 Ultimate here pretty soon States, but the problem with that one, well, problem to me is that game actually isn't going to be, you can't play that game solely on the gamepad. At least the Japanese version, you can't, and I imagine they're not going to change that for the U.S. release. So that's kind of a bummer to me. But I mean, other than that, that's also going to be another great RPG for the Wii U. It's looking to be actually a good RPG type of console this Wii U, as opposed to the lackluster support that the Wii got in the RPG land. So that. Yeah. Yeah, I think the demo actually is releasing in February to for Ultimate on the, let me see, yeah, on the 3DS and on the Wii U, the demo is gonna be available for download here in February, so that's exciting.
And also, speaking RPGs, Fire Emblem demo is out right now, so that coming up in about a week or so. So
awesome. Well, back to the Monster Hunter Ultimate. I actually was again talking to some people about that, and also Monster Hunter 3D. And it seems like out of the people I've talked to so far, and it, the little group I was speaking with, basically they're all going for Monster Hunter 3D. They're not even thinking about Monster Hunter Ultimate right now.
Mm-hmm.
And the reasoning is it's not worth them buying a Wii U for, you know, it's well worth the 3DS. But those, many of those same group, as soon as they saw the Wind Waker HD remake, they were all on board to get a Wii U at that point. That was their deciding factor. So, I mean, I it'll be interesting to see how the sales of those two games, the 3D and the Ultimate, kind of compare to each other.
Right. Yeah. With Ultimate, I mean, Monster Hunter hasn't really caught on in the States as much as it has in the Japan, obviously. But I think with the Monster Hunter 3 and then Monster Hunter 4 in the future, I think this is one example of a couple of games that could potentially bring that that same feeling into the States, because especially on the 3DS, I think, because with the Street Pass functionality and what they've done with that, and the ability to just kind of you know, link the two games via game 3DS and Wii U, be able to play, do a kind of a cross play. I think that's going to have an interesting impact on the Monster Hunter franchise. But I don't know. It's still kind of
definitely.
It is, and you know, I'm beginning to, you know, when Nintendo and I would say, I just wanted to add about Monolith Soft. It was when Nintendo first, how many years ago did the Nintendo I forgot, like about 5 or so years ago, that when Nintendo purchased a majority stake in Monolith Soft. At that time, I just shrugged it off. I really didn't think, as far as like, okay, maybe they'll give them their few first RPGs out there, but nothing to like a really grand scope. And of course, Xenoblade Chronicles like proved me wrong on that. And now I'm, wow, I it is a valuable asset to this company now.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, definitely. Yeah. Oh, definitely. It's right up there with, I mean, obviously, I think Retro is the best developer that Nintendo has under their belt, in my opinion. But Monolith is getting right up there. I mean, especially with all these great games that they've released in the last couple of years.
It is. And, you know, it's hopefully this is going to be a possibly, you know, a, like you said, a opens up the door for great RPGs to come to this console, be it if it's from the Nintendo or through third parties.
Exactly.
Definitely. Well, I think that's about it for the podcast this week. Do you all have anything you wanted to add before we wrap up this week?
Wanted to say congrats on graduating college.
Oh, thank you very much. Yeah. That was now on to grad school, but not. I'm going to take a little bit of time to myself first. But yeah, that is exciting for sure.
That's awesome.
Yeah, thanks, guys. I appreciate that.
But I'll say we were worried for a while as far as, like, you know, where you'd been for so long. I'm just like, you know, after so many dates, we're trying to get, you know, get this started again. Yeah. And they're just like, I think we just lost them.
You did. Everybody lost me for a while. From the beginning of December on, it was just so rough with school wise and everything. And I've just moved recently, so that was another thing. But everything's falling into place. And yeah, it's nice to have some free time. I'll tell you that much.
Oh yeah, awesome. And enough for your Wii U. So it's like, oh wow, I have all these games I get to play again. I forgot about you guys.
Yeah, that's right. Well, great stuff, guys. Well, hopefully we'll make the podcast won't take as long this time, but to get going again. But yeah, it was another good week, another good podcast. So with that, I think we are off. Thanks, guys, for listening, awesome. And we'll see y'all next time.
See you later.
See ya.